All right, coming up right now, Studio W The Buzz, Q-Lin, The Soul Savage Show, it's on, coming up. Welcome everyone, this is Studio W, The Buzz, your global radio network, and The Soul Savage Show with Q-Lin and Whitney. Q-Lin.
Q-Lin. Hey,
all right, we're here.
Hey, Will, how you doing?
Doing pretty good. I can hear you well. Very well, very well.
Okay.
Looking forward to a great show tonight.
Right. I just want to inform everybody that, that it's been a crazy afternoon. Everything's been happening fast. And I'm getting guilt tripped by one of our guests that comes on multiple times. Man, if you know what I'm talking about, if you know what our guest host that comes on regularly, co-founder of As Told By Her, Haley Robinson, is making me feel bad. And she's being so dramatic, and so she's going to inform y'all of whatever transgression she said I've done. I don't think I've done anything wrong because I'm doing a whole bunch of stuff right now. So what we're going to do right here is fixing it. I guess welcome to Soul Savage Radio. I'm all out of whack, y'all. I'm trying to figure stuff out. Y'all catching us live. We are real live right now because it's all over the place for me. Whitney has y'all not privy to this, to the listening audience, but it's a lot that happens before we get on the show, and it's usually an organized mess, meaning stuff happens randomly, and I gotta fix it in the moment, and so in the moment, it's taking up a whole lot of time. So y'all bear with, if you hear a little situation, audio situation happening right now. So y'all got to deal with the technical difficulties for just a few minutes. But I guess we get to the savvy updates really quick. Whitney, important people, what do you have going on this week? I had a bunch going on this week, but what do you have going on?
So work as usual, but I did finally get a new story posted on my site, and I got a lot of really good feedback on it. It was the story of Valerie, one of my really close friends. So she let me do a piece on her, just kind of telling people like some of the parts of our friendship and how that came to be and everything like that. So anyway, that was real like fun for me because it was the first time that I actually put something out in a long time, and it was good just to have like that kind of adrenaline rush of like writing something, getting it out there, getting people to take a look at it and things like that. So that's definitely been the highlight here recently of the week because they still trying me at work, but you know, I ain't gonna talk about that right now. I'm gonna try to stay chill, trying to keep it chill and positive.
Right, keep it chill and positive. What exactly did y'all, what was the actual post that you had put up on the website? What's the name of it so people can look it up?
Well, if you go to witjamesstories.com, that'll take you straight to it, but it's called, Valerie, A Heart Full of Gold, A Bubbly Personality, and Warmth, I think is what I called it. But if you go on my site, like, you'll see a picture, of her right on the site, which the picture is one that her daughter took, and it's a dope picture. Like, I was super hyped when she sent it, and so her daughter was real excited too because she was like, oh, this is the first time I've had anything published. And I'm like, I'm just a regular person out here, but it was good to put a smile on the whole family's face. But it's, again, witjamesstories.com. If you go on the website, you'll see it. It's right on the front page.
So it's just separate from As Told By Her?
It's still under As Told By Her, but we kind of split up how we put stuff out there, with Haley focusing more like on the natural hair stuff, and I'm more going towards writing. So it's still under the As Told By Her label. We just did that to make it a little bit easier for us, like in our separate but still together like creative ventures.
That makes sense. Yeah, I've just been, man, it's been a pretty crazy week. It started off real good, but it's like always preparing for the show is always a bumpy ride. So let me give you an example. Okay, well, just people in general are, you know what I mean, they like to impress themselves. In my life, like randomly, it's like always when I go back home, you know, to Ardmore, our home, or my hometown, I go back there. My sister was in town. She just had a baby. I don't know if I told y'all that on the show. One of my sisters had my number 10 nephew. That's what I called him. Think he might be my favorite because he, his birthday was, he was supposed to be born on my birthday, but he was born a day after. So technically, you know, I could still, you know what I mean? But just for that alone, you're not supposed to show favoritism, but he might be my favorite nephew. But he was like, I hadn't seen him since he was like really a newborn, but he's like 5-6 months now. So he's getting to that teething stage and about to start crawling soon stage. So yeah, it was fun connecting with the family. But then also, here's the thing. Most of my siblings only have one, actually two. My older brother, he's in his 30s. And then my sister underneath, she's, I think a year and some months younger than me, but the rest of my siblings are under 25. And so, here's the thing, I'm older, so I don't fraternize or talk to people that's under 25 like that. And so they're like the stereotypical, you know, the stereotypical teenager stuff. They're like that. And so it's hard for me to sit and like, in a short amount of, I mean, you know what I mean? I got to be there for a short amount of time because I can't deal with teenage, I said toddlers. They are teenage toddlers. That's what I call them. But it's just so like, and then they like, you know, they do stuff that, is it me or am I like going out of bounds with, like, you know, like how you get invited to dinners and stuff like that, like if your parent wants to have like all their children together to have dinner, do you think it's cool to like have for them to bring their friends if they we don't really know them like that? Do you think it's cool for them to just bring them around like randomly?
I think you should give a heads up if you're going
they
to,
don't even
so
do
at
that.
Least people know.
Right, and so here they are, and then they have evasive friends. You know what I mean? And that's my way of saying Caucasian does not like offend a great mass of people that's listening in. I'm just saying, usually Caucasian people that, because you know they got they own. You know what I mean? They're known. They don't really are known for culture, but being culture vultures, that's pretty much what their culture is. That's my. This is me saying this. So. Anybody else listening, I'm being ignorant right now. I'm just trying to make an ignorant theory right now. Just listening. I think most Caucasians aren't taught. This is the reason why I don't like Caucasian people that try to act down with black people, because they don't know code. They don't know, like, we got multiple codes for multiple situations. They don't know nothing
right.
about that. You know what I mean? They don't know the stuff in between our culture that's nuanced with us. And that's the only experience you have when you have black parents or black siblings and stuff like that within that. And then most of the half of my siblings are biracial, and so they lean towards more of their Caucasian side more. They do stuff like, you know, talking out of turn and talking over people and stuff like that, like what they're known for.
I got you.
They do stuff like
yeah.
that. And so, and then they also do things like having Caucasian friends that want to be down. They like saying the N-word. Pretty much, like any black person, Caucasian person that tries to act down, you know what it is. I don't have to explain this. That, hey, girl, you and you just met, like, literally 10 seconds in meeting, and they trying to homegirl you and stuff like that. You know what I mean? Trying to switch up.
Yeah.
Lingo, like we don't speak a correct English or something. Like, that's the only thing we respond to is job talk. That's what I call it. But that's what one of their friends did with me, and it rubbed me the wrong way. And I wanted every part of my facial expression. And then here, he asked me a goofy question first, and it was like asking me about some artists with acronyms in their name, and I didn't know who they were talking about. And he was like, do you know who YN something is? And I was like, I don't keep up with hip hop, so I can't help you with that. And then he goes on to say that, I was playing with the baby at this point, you know what I mean? So I wasn't halfway listening to him. And so I'm playing with the baby. And then he says it to my sister. And then I was like, I know I just didn't hear that, because the N in the word, you already know what it is. And
right.
I was like, I know I just didn't hear him say this word. I was like, I know I'm hearing stuff. Because, you know, like, you had those moments before you say, like, say something immediately. It's like, I know I didn't hear what I just heard. I was like, and then he goes on to say it again. And then, wait. What I did was,
wow.
I was like, what did you just say? I was like, what did you say the name was again? And then he didn't even hesitate. Like, when I tell you, he's saying it like he comes from a black mama or something. Like, he said it that, like free and didn't have no qualms about saying it. He was so comfortable. I was like, what'd you say? And he said, young nigga, whatever that was. I was like, is that what we do here? I asked my sister. I was like, is this what we do? This how y'all do around here? I was like, y'all just let it fall like this? And she was like, well, he's just saying the name. That's what she said. That's what she said when he said that. I'm like, oh, you just let, you know what I mean? That's what I said. It's the Caucasian side. And so I don't get offended because I already know, you understand, this ain't my first time trying to correct Caucasian people. I'm like, this is how you know. You don't need to be saying the word because you don't even know the context within, the smart ones don't even know the context within us saying it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Use it in certain settings around people.
Right.
And that's the one thing why I don't like hearing it in rap music, because hip hop is no longer just us for black people. It's for everybody now. And when it started acting in music, when it got mainstream, it was no longer art. And so they like peeping in our culture. He likes listening to all this whack ass rap that's out. The Caucasian boy friend of my sister, they like listening to that crap music, and they try to be down by trying to keep up with the latest music. And then I'm sitting there playing on my phone, and then I hear him randomly talking about buying lean from. I was like, see that? This is what I be talking about. Y'all hang around people like this that are nothing in life. I'm like, and then y'all come to me with the bull crap, and then when I try to teach y'all something, y'all go, it go out one ear and one out the other. It's like raising, I'm telling you, like having younger siblings is like having children. I feel like I'm a parent to them. It's like, I won't tell them because they over 20. I mean, one of my sisters is 21 or something like that. So it's like, I don't want to like keep, you know, telling who you choose your friends and stuff like that. But it's like, come on now. Like, we are y'all serious right now? We can't. You know what I mean?
You're supposed to, like, give them the talk before they come through about, like, what you say, what you don't say, because we don't, that's not how we interact, especially, like, when you bring
it
somebody
ain't even
over.
That, that's, well, you know, actually, it's the personality trait is more annoying than him saying the N-word. That's, I'm being pretty honest right now. Like, him using the N-word don't even annoy me. It was every time I'm having a conversation, because it was my sister. It's so, you know, Caucasian people do ghetto stuff. You know what I mean? They have multiple siblings as well. And so one of their siblings is full Caucasian. And so they just let random people in their house. They act like high schoolers. They just, I'm like, wow, this is what y'all do. Y'all just invite anybody over. You know, just invite them over the house, let them discipline your children. I was like, whoa, this is weird. I was like, when this happens? I'm like, this is how you get peek into, like, this is peak Caucasity, this is what I call it, of just looking at somebody's Caucasian view of what they allow and what they don't allow. And it's like, it makes perfect sense to me. Like, none of this behavior I saw from this Caucasian little boy surprised me, because this is a part of their DNA as Caucasians. And then when they try to tap into other cultures, that entitlement comes in. And it's like everything of, it was like, here I am in a conversation. I can't say two words without him jumping in trying to add, like, his context verbiage. It's like nobody asked you to talk. Like, stay in your, like, and I know I'm keen to stuff because my dad's, I'm exactly like my dad. So me and him pick up on, like, observations of people, like, clearly. And he can't, and I don't know, they don't listen to the show, so I don't mind saying. their friends are trash, and my dad don't like it because he talks too much. And I'm like, that's pretty much my consensus as well. Because I don't like people that talk a lot. If you imagine or not, this is entertainment. I'm pretty sure y'all listening in thinking I talk a lot. This is a radio show. I have to talk. When I'm not on a radio show, I am definitely quiet most of the day. Whitney knows. She know me. We've been out.
Yep.
Like, if we having a conversation, we having a conversation. It can last for hours if it wants to, if it's a good conversation. But for the most part, I'm chill. I'm quiet. Whitney could attest to this. I don't say anything. I'm on my business.
Right.
If other people are having conversations, I just listen to their conversation. If I feel like chiming in on it, I'll chime in on it. If not, if it's not my place, I just sit back and just watch people in a setting. I don't be just trying to, you know what I mean, jump out there and, you know, because when you do that, that's like a insecurity of trying to accommodate for something that you lack. And most of the time it's communication when you do stuff. Like when you just jump in a comment like, oh, I need to add my 2 cents. When you always got to say something wrong with you. And that's pretty much, you know what I mean, the consensus of that family trip, family time. I'm like, I just want family time without your friends. Is that too much to ask? That's all I'm saying. It's like, I just want, if we go have family time and bond and stuff like that, leave your friends out of it. It's like, I hate, I have to prep you for that, but apparently I have to, like, leave that person at home. Whoever, don't bring, or I could just say it in general, don't bring none of your friends, X, Y, and Z, because they're all raggedy. It's like, you keep, and then they don't listen, and that bothers me as well. It's like I might as well be talking to this brick wall over here, or you know what I mean? Because it's like, teenagers are just awful. They're like about as bad as toddlers are. At least with toddlers, you can actually control them and stuff like that. Teenagers, whole different thing. But, Will, I know you had asked for a break. I got too into the conversation talking about these, raggedy Caucasian people that are friends with my siblings. So if you're ready, we could go to break, and we can do your segment next, if you're ready. I don't think he's back.
Like, where'd he go?
Right. He's on. I don't know where he went. He might have went to go get some more Pinot Grigio. But until he pulls up. Something else. Oh, yes. I almost forgot. I'm glad that we didn't go to break now, because I almost forgot. Soul Savviness, the brand, turned 5 years old yesterday.
Yeah!
Right!
Congratulations.
Yes. 2014 is when I started it. I had everything scheduled out. I had everything I needed, like, I think like January something, like the end of January. And it took, I had so many posts. I wrote like maybe 10 to 12 music articles. And then I had some music posts. And then I had like a lot. And I just posted it all at the same time. And then it just started from there. And the crazy thing is, when I started, I say it all the time, when I started it, it was just like multiple reasons. One was because I didn't like some of the music websites that's up now, no disrespect to them, but it was like some of the journalists that wrote about some of the R&B soul music, or just soul music in general, of albums that I liked that year. They didn't really go in detail like I wanted of how great it was, either they showed a lack of that, or just a lack of really, in depth about the music, and I didn't like that. And then also seeing people on social media saying, oh, R&B is dead, there's no real R&B left, there's no real singers out there. And I'm like, are you kidding me? I can name like 10 artists right now that just dropped the album. You know, that was frustrating. And so I just got that. It was a little bit of that, but then also, like, overall, I had a concept for starting a blog like years ago, like in like almost 10 years ago. But the ideas couldn't form because I was doing too much. I couldn't make all the concept come together. And I did start it, but it was terrible. And I didn't like it. I didn't like the name of it. I can't even remember what I named it, but I had got the graphics and everything for it to start it. But it was just the content didn't come to me, and I just thought the name was whack. And I was like, you know what? I'm having writer's block. I'm just leave it alone. And then some years later, I was just living my life, just getting everything. I was fasting a lot. I told y'all, I did a 90-day fast. That's when it all happened in that time period, because I was just feeling good. I did, like, back-to-back fast and everything. I was just living life, and then randomly, like, 3-4 in the morning, you know, the idea for Soul Savviness came. It was just mostly musician appreciation kept coming in my head, and then I started thinking of musicians and singers that I wanted to write about, and all started coming. And then pretty much all the categories on soulsavviness.com, if you look at what's on there, majority of that came to me in my sleep. Like, I was dead asleep 3-4 in the morning, and then it hit me like instantly. And then I just woke up and started writing it down. And then by the time I got the concept, once I got the concept together, getting the name for it was easy. And so I just knew, like, when I really thought about it, I was like, I just want something real fly. Like, I want a fly name, like something. I knew I wanted the word soul in it. And so I'm a word nerd. And so I was just finding words that I thought were cool to match with soul. And so the concept was being knowledgeable of music. I was like, somebody that's knowledgeable of music, that knows good music, and socially intelligent. Like, that's supposed to the concept where I was coming with the articles and stuff I wrote. And so when I said, what does that mean to know something when you're good at something? And then I'm finding, looking at dictionary words, I'm just going through the list, looking at synonyms, I'm like, what is a synonym for this? What is that? What is that? And then it finally hit savvy, and I was like, oh, that's it right there. And then I put it together. I was just putting words next to it and trying to find it. But I was going to call it Soul Savvy. That's a fun fact. I was going to call it soulsavvy.com, what somebody already had the domain name. And so I was like, no, I gotta have this thing. I was dead set on, I was trying to find different ways. I was gonna call it, I think, True Soul Savvy or something, but I was like, no, that's too long of a name. I'm just thinking about, like, somebody coming on the website. I was trying to make it easy for somebody to look up. And so I was like, I need another word for this. I was like, I knew I had to have savvy in it. And then it was like, okay, what the pronoun to that is savviness. And I was like, okay, let me see how I flow together. Soul savviness. I was like, oh, that flows good together. And then I was like, once I had that in my head, it just went on from there. And then, you know, fast forward, you know, 5 years later, here we are. Interviews. I've interviewed so many people. The first year, I wasn't even thinking about doing an interview. Like I said, it was the Bilal interview that really set everything off with me going to shows. And because most of the time I was just wanting to do concert reviews, I would just go to shows and review them. That was pretty much what I was doing. And I was trying to review the Bilal show, but like I said before, it was complication with that, with the people that were there. So I was like, well, forget it then. I'll just email his public, because I knew his people or whatever. I was like, I'll just get in contact with them and just get an interview instead. And then it just jump started from that. And, you know, I've traveled to interview people. It's just, I've done a lot of off the record interviews. Those are pretty fun just for me. Most of it is just for my own knowledge of the artist and musician. And I know that sounds in a selfish way, but I have to be selfish about it, because it's like, that's where my passion is. And it's like, I can't allow anybody to like surface that bubble of critiquing something, of not saying I'm above critique, but just, I guess it's like an intimate space for me to do interviews, because I pay so much attention to stuff and details when it comes to music. And that's why I don't ask any of the subscribers or the listeners of the show to, you know what I mean? If you got a question, mm-hmm. No, save that for shaderoom.com or something like that. You can't have no interaction. But it's like, not saying that I don't feel like, I feel like all of our listeners are pretty knowledgeable in music, but it's just an intimate thing when you interview people, when you're a journalist, and I hold a lot of integrity to it. So that's why when I started out, I was doing, before I had the radio show, I was transcribing all the interviews myself. And we talking about more than 800 words. You don't realize there's a lot of stuff I had to learn along the way with with doing interviews, because I was doing it myself. And I could have hired, it was a lot of people I had hired to do stuff for me, but it was just for that reason I couldn't let them edit it, because it's like, I know the way it was said, you know what I mean? And I didn't want the interpretation to be lost with how they said it. I know exact, because I did the interview, so I know how they meant to say it and all that stuff. But you don't realize, I did, most of my questions would be like 5 to 6, but I think the most I've done, in a written article was 10 questions. And I realized that was a rookie mistake, because it's like, especially if you're transcribing it, like that's, cause you don't realize that in the conversation, how many words they're using and how lengthy mm-hmm. the conversation is. Cause most of the conversations are 35, 40 minutes long when I was doing it in person. And so when I'm getting back listening to the interview, it's like when I'm writing it down, I'm like, damn, this is a lot. Like, we ain't even to the 4th question yet, and it's already a half a page gone. Like, or almost 2 pages gone. And it's like, oh, okay. And then so when I was doing it in print, it's only special occasions I do in print, when I feel like getting out the house and dressing up and going somewhere and going to a show. That takes a lot of energy out of me. And so, yeah, a lot of people don't see the behind the scenes. Y'all just see all the glitter and glamour of interviewing celebrities and stuff like that. I look at it as more as a job and a task, or just not job, a task to get done. And once I get it done, it's on to the next one. So I don't really relish on all the stuff. And there's just so many great things that's happened. It was like overwhelming. Listen, Matt, the thing I'm doing with Instagram, I'm trying to find new ways to do new stuff and evolve the website. And so I'm trying to put more content on Instagram, and I'm doing both at the same time, and it's going well because my engagements are up on there. But the crazy thing happened. I looked on my notifications when, I think it was Sunday or Saturday or Sunday, and My favorite singer of all time is liked all of my, like a good majority of my posts on Instagram, and it was Mr. Philip Bailey from Earth, Wind & Fire. Like,
ah, that's dope.
I was like, and then Mickey Howard, like, you know, a couple I did, I mean, one of them that I did some weeks ago, and it was like, yeah, this is real. And you know, I like, you don't want to get excited too fast because you think it's spam. I'm like, nah, this is a fan page. This isn't their real page. And then you see that blue sticker up there. I was like, oh, this is real. And then Herbie Hancock, like him, like, I was like, appreciation post I did. It was like, no, this isn't him. I thought it was a fake page. I thought it was a fan page. But it was a blue sticker. I was like, yo, this is too much. And then when, you know, getting write-ups in Essence mentioning me, I think last year, the year before, and mentioned my name and sourcing me, and then other great bloggers and music journalists that are popular that reference my page and the stuff that I use and credit me and stuff in the articles that they do. I just appreciate all of it. And then it's like all my favorite singers, most of all my favorite singers that I love that are living is like knows about Soul Savage. I think that's so cool. Cause it wasn't even my ideas, like, I just put it out there, like my content, the stuff that I felt like talking about, I just put out there, and for people to receive it, like, they, like, instantly, I wasn't expecting it. Like I told y'all before, I was expecting at least, like, 5 people to like it. I was like, you know what I mean, like, Facebook friends or right. Something like that. I was just saying, like, it wasn't, like, intentional, oh, I'm gonna have this many followers, I'm gonna have this many subscribers. It wasn't that. It was just me just writing, and people have just been so receptive to it. And you know, somebody called me an influencer. I was like, oh, that's a compliment. I was like, and then somebody called me, said I was a musical encyclopedia. It's like, yo, like, this is crazy. Like, I don't even know how to accept these compliments. You know what I mean? Because it doesn't feel real still. But yeah, it's just keep evolving and getting better. So I don't really relish in it. But I just want to say, just to those that listen in, that has been consistently listening to Soul Savages, that send me all the emails. I see all your emails. I try to respond to them personally because we haven't had time to pull them up during the show. But I try to answer a good majority of them. But thank y'all for sending all the comments on the website and the emails about the show, and those that listen in consistently every week that we're on or when we're scheduled on, because sometimes we don't, we'll miss a couple sometimes, but we've been pretty consistent since we started. So thank y'all for all of that, because it wouldn't be no Soul Savage brand if y'all didn't make it come to life and, you know what I mean, all these great things. So, and I appreciate all the publicists and managers and the artists and the singers and musicians that come on the show and that are diligent with their time. I appreciate that, and just, you know what I mean, make it a point to get back to me and stuff like that. It's a journey, but yeah, I'm glad. I'm done talking about myself because I'm feeling uncomfortable now. I feel like I'm like 10 minutes. This is weird. I hate talking about myself. But yeah, thank y'all, man. I appreciate it. But Whitney, you got anything else for we go to break? Hopefully Will's nearby. So I talked for a minute. I wasn't planning on it. I was just, you know, just started talking.
Nah.
I feel the spirit, and I went on.
Now, I publicly, though, do want to say again, like, congrats, because it does seem like you were just talking about this at my grandma's house on the front porch, like, a couple weekends
ago.
So,
right.
So to see, right. Like, to see everything that's happened from then till now, like, to be a part of some of those moments and to see, like, there's still more to come, like, congrats, celebrate this moment. I know you said you feel awkward or whatever right now, but this is a big deal and I'm proud of you, like, and I'm happy to see everything that's going down, so I can't wait to see what happens over the next 5 for you.
Man, I'm just trying to keep going and try to keep progressing. It's like so many things, I can't even pinpoint everything that's like happened in the past 5 years, because it all is like a blur to me. It feel like it all just happened like last year. So it's like in such a short amount of time, all of this has transpired. With the radio show, I forgot to mention that. Thank you, Will, for that. I didn't even give him props for that, but just giving me the platform to just act, show my ridiculous side more. Because I get more of the decency when you go to the website. I get a little snarky and y'all get a little bit of the sarcasm as well on that. That's a very portion of my personality as well as the sarcasm. Y'all get a good that. But just the, you know what I mean, the personality, radio personality, y'all definitely get a good chunk of what's going on in my thought process. This is, anything that I've said that y'all thought was ridiculous is always my thought process. That I always, sometimes I'll say it out loud, but other times it just keeps in. It's just like sometimes it's deeply down in there. And I pull it out for special occasions. Y'all, my special occasion where I pull it out. But yeah. Well, if you're back from your Pinot Grigio break, we can go to break. And if you have, if it's a rave, we'll be back.
What's happening, man?
Good times on my mind.
Who lives out? Summertime.
In the game, good times, and we're back. This is the Soul Savvy Show with Q Lynn and Whitney.
Yeah, man, we back.
We are definitely back.
You ready? Listen, yeah. I'm ready for your 6 minutes of rage if you ready. If you need some more prep time, we give you that. If you
Boy.
If you know, Grecio, we'll let you have that moment.
Okay. You know what I mean? Oh, as a matter of fact, where's my case of Pinot Grigio?
You know what time it is. You good to go.
Yeah, I know what time it is.
You know, seriously, we can keep going.
Oh no!
You ready?
I am ready.
All right. Well, here it is, y'all. 6 minutes away.
Oh my God. Yep. Rage. And guess, oh boy, we've got a lot to be raged about. Blackface. Virginia governor. Also the attorney general. Both of them. Oh, just admitted. Well, sort of, kinda, that they wore blackface back when they were in college, you know? The governor, first of all, I don't know if you saw it last week or not, but Friday he said that, in that photo that you guys saw on TV? Oh, one of these two pictures are me, but I don't know which one. But then guess what? That was a revelation, because Saturday he came back and said, nope, wasn't me. Wasn't me at all in either one of those, in that picture at all. However, I remember, you know, at a Michael Jackson, I did a Michael Jackson, impersonation, you know, at a party one time, in a dance contest. I wore blackface then, but I want to put a little bit of polish on my face, because you guys know, you have polish on your face, it's kind of hard to get off. Huh, that sounds like something he's done before. We can be back with that story. The State of the Union. Did you guys see that circus? State of the Union. President Trump says, oh, by the way, the investigations, you know what? The economy is doing well, but we don't need these investigations. If you want the economy to continue to do well, we need to get rid of this bipartisanship and these investigations. You think he was trying to throw a subtle hint? Government shutdown. Boy, what are we about 8 days away now before there's another potential shutdown, which is ridiculous. It was ridiculous the first time and will be even more ridiculous the second time. And this clown is still considering a shutdown. What's going to happen to these families? Oh, does he care? He can still afford to go to McDonald's. That's all he eats anyway. Oh, Jussie Smollett, you guys, we talked about that a little bit. That story is still under investigation. You know what I said last week? The guys who attacked him, they were wearing MAGA hats. Make America Great Again. What do you think about that? Have you noticed the rise in crime as far as racial crimes are concerned? Have you noticed that lately since 2016? Has there been an upsurge in violence across the nation? An upsurge in racial tensions? And people are more emboldened now. Last week I told you about the black girl at McDonald's. Well, I was so glad that she beat that guy down. You see, this white guy decided he wanted to grab this worker at McDonald's by her collar, and she commenced to put a whoop down on him. I hope she gave him a glass of iced tea after that. Permit Patty, Barbecue Becky, Cornerstone Caroline, Golf Cart Gail, kids in swimming pools, kids selling water. Oh my goodness. Have you seen anything like this before? That's unbelievable. Florida A&M students being denied into their dormitory. Oh boy. You can't get around this stuff here. Oh boy, the House is launching investigations. And guess about who? This dysfunctional administration. Everybody is indicted. Everybody's under the microscope. Paul Manafort, Michael Flynn, Michael Cohen, George Papadopoulos. Oh boy. And now the guy from AMI, from the National Enquirer. Oh, he's also, right now communicating with Mueller. Oh boy. Roger Stone. You know, it's kind of funny that this guy said he was going to drain the swamp. Is that what you call draining swamp? No. He added alligators to it. These guys are crazy. Let's talk about some of the top 10 stories. Baseball Hall of Famer Frank Robinson dies at age 83. Robinson was the only player to win the Most Valuable Player Award in both major leagues and was the game's first African-American manager. Holocaust survivors and victims' families received millions from reparations from France. Survivors who were deported via French trains to Germany, to German death camps, are getting around $400,000 in compensation. At the National Prayer Breakfast this morning, Blunt says, "I will never let you down." Trump says, "I will never let you down." Let me repeat. Trump says, "I will never let you down." He says, and I quote, "All children born and unborn are made in the holy image of God." Well, what about those kids at the border right now? That seeking asylum, those parents seeking asylum, trying to escape violence, gun violence, and gangs, and trying to keep their families safe. What about that? I fell short. Jill Abramson, you may not know the name, responds to charges of plagiarism and inaccuracies. February 7, 2019, the former New York Times executive editor finds herself in brawling controversies after passages in her new book, Merchants of Truth, were found to echo work written by others. Top Virginia Republican senator edited 1968 yearbook with blackface. Man, when is this going to stop? Racial slurs. Let's get to it. A top Virginia Republican has joined a growing list of Democrats under fire for past racially insensitive photos and costumes. Virginia Senate Majority Leader Tommy Norment was the managing editor of the Virginia Military Institute, VMI. Hey, that's the same place that the governor went to. And speaking of the governor, Q. Lynn and Whitney, the Virginia governor, he said he didn't do it. It wasn't him, but he did wear blackface when he did, was in a Michael Jackson performance contest. And also, the attorney general in Virginia, okay, he admitted that he wore blackface. But guess what? He's the one that called for the governor to resign. And then, oh my goodness, the lieutenant governor, he has been charged with sexual harassment. So that means that the governor, lieutenant governor, and attorney general of the Virginia Commonwealth may not even be able to take office. Back to you, Q. Lynn.
I think she's she might be experiencing some more technical difficulties on that end. Oh my goodness.
Oh no way. She might be taking a Pinot Grigio break herself. That could be the case, Whitney. Yeah. Hey Whitney, what do you think about this scandal list? There's so many things that we could talk about. We could talk about the State of the Union. We could talk about these people being charged with blackface. Now, how come all of a sudden this is 2019 and we know this has been going on for a while? What is your take on this, and have you been following the story?
So the blackface one in particular, yeah, I was following that because first off, I can't say I'm really too surprised. Like my first thought about that was when I seen the picture, and then I forgot his name, saying that he didn't know which one he was. I wouldn't have said that, first
really?
Of all. That's just, why would you, one of those was me, like neither one was better than the other, and then to be like, well no, actually it wasn't. Well, okay, alright, cool, you don't know if it was you or not, but the point of it is, like, it seems like it probably was you. You're trying to backtrack and it's too late, but these incidences, they just don't go away. And I really wonder if we really started to probe, we would actually probably find that there's a lot more of that out there than we realize. I don't know if I'm the only one who looked at it like this, but I was like, wasn't that in a yearbook?
It was in his yearbook on his personal page.
Right, so, you know, not only is he in blackface, like let's go ahead and say it's him, but someone actually put that in there and thought that was okay. And so that really gives you like a peek into the mindset of what people at that time, but also still now, think is acceptable. And there was an incident of that at Haley's college while she was there. That was just a few years ago. And a lot of the comments, as I read it, they were like, oh, people are just butthurt. And I'm like, really? You think that's okay? Like, I really don't think a lot of people see an issue with it. Now, of course, you see an issue with it when you've gotten caught up in a scandal and you are serving in a high position and we're telling you to resign. Well, now you probably be like, well, I probably shouldn't have done that. But it's a little too late. I just don't think we're going to get away from it, though. I don't know how we can get people to understand, like, the true issue behind this, but it's just kind of, I don't know. Ever since Trump got in, it's kind of hard to be surprised about a lot of things, but I think it's a bit disheartening that we keep coming across things like this, and then, like, the students being denied into the dorm room and all of the incidences that we hear about, the barbecue Becky, all of that stuff. It's just like, once again, I need people to just chill out, like, stay in your lane, stop being racist. Blackface wasn't okay then, it's still not okay. Like, just get yourself together. I don't get it. Like, I can't make sense of people's mindsets.
Right. Well, you know, my take on that is these people that say, well, you got your butt hurt, or those are the same people that don't want you to talk about race. Why are you bringing this up?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. There's no racism in this country. Are you serious? You see this
right
every day. Like you say, with the barbecue, Becky's and the Pyramid Patties, you know, and the Corner Store, Caroline, and Golf Cart, Carol Gale, and these guys, like, they already know what they're doing. Some people want to play ignorant because they think that you are ignorant. They think that you are not going to. Why are you so upset about this? Well, you know what? The same way I'm upset about people still getting lynched. The same thing I'm getting upset about black people being harassed and any other minority, whether it's racial, whether it's religion, whether it's ethnic, whatever it is. The same way I'm going to get upset about this. And this is the thing about it. The solid majority has been silent too long. You know, and I think it's time for people to say something about it. And the reason why this thing is continuing to go on, because nobody addresses the fact. Now, let me tell you something. If we had a real leader, a real president, he would get on TV and says, look, this needs to stop now. If we're going to heal this country, racism needs to stop. But see, the thing about it is kind of hard for a racist to say that.
Yes.
It's very difficult.
Yes.
It's very difficult. Yeah, extremely difficult for that. But no. I was telling somebody on Sunday, doing my Boomerang radio show on Sundays, 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Studio W The Buzz. I had to give myself a plug, you know. Anyway, I was saying, you know, I really don't understand. There's a couple of things now. If you are going to allow these things to happen and you say nothing about it, either you are the problem, part of the problem, or adding to the problem. And we have to say something to keep and keep it out in the forefront. This cannot happen. It cannot happen. But as long as you have somebody like you do in the White House, you're going to have somebody that's leading these people out of the cobwebs and out of the closet. And I think Hillary Clinton said it best. Half of his supporters are degenerates, or deplorables, rather. You know, and probably both. So,
right.
You know,
right.
It's probably both. These people have become more and more emboldened as we speak. Now, have we had a Q-Lynn sighting yet? Oh, I guess she's still on break. Probably picking up her order of hot wings. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. But
that's what she was missing.
maybe so. But now let's get back. The problem, like in Virginia, which is my home state. Well, Virginia has a history of racism. It really does, you know. And you remember what happened. Was that last year in Charlottesville? Was that last year in Charlottesville? Well, they had the rally, and you had these neo-Nazi people and the Klansmen. They marching in the University of Virginia with tiki torches and things of the like. That never should have happened. You know, I'm wondering.
Right.
I know there's a such thing called freedom of speech. I understand that, you know, but when it comes, insightful, such as maybe a riot or disturbance or something like that. What do you say? Hey, no, enough is enough, and you will not be granted a permit to do this. If you know that you have, if you know that you have a group, a violent group of people, and they want to stage a rally somewhere, why are these people given grant or given the right to have a permit to have a rally? I don't understand that.
I think that people have been, I think people are afraid a lot of times to speak up or to say no, simply. Like, we're not going to allow that because we know that X, Y, and Z is most likely going to happen. And the problem with that is exactly what happened. We get these groups of people together. We say, well, freedom of speech, is allowed. We're going to allow people to demonstrate and carry on and things of that nature. But when you don't have any type of boundaries or rules set in place to ensure the safety of the majority, then we end up with people getting hurt, getting hit by cars, getting attacked. We have people getting harassed. And what I think sometimes people fail to realize, the people that you harass, that you attack, and you just keep coming after these people over and over and over again, especially our black people right now, there's only so much that people are going to take. Now, that doesn't mean that somebody gonna roll up with a gun to something and just start shooting or just go off, but people will only take so much. At some point, you're going to fight back, whether that's with words or something else. And that's the biggest problem and concern for me, is that, or I guess more so it's a point of concern, because if you don't draw a line anywhere, are we saying that we want to protect the people who feel they have a right to freedom of speech, no matter how hostile that group is? We think that's more important than the safety of the majority who is constantly getting attacked. Like, I don't know what we do with that. I just know that that's where, to me, where it comes from. People's inability to say no or to stand up for what they actually know is right because they're scared of these people for whatever reason. If you don't tell them no, then what you're going to end up at some point is just a big blow up.
Right.
And
right.
I see that happen in places here, like in Tulsa. Like, it's subtle. You get subtle things here. But time and time again, people, you know, we try to be peaceful. We try to back away. Because most people I know here, we're pretty calm, pretty chill. But again, there's only so much that people are going to take before you end up with a massive issue like we saw happen back in 1921 that nobody in Tulsa likes to talk about. But, you know, these things happen. Race riots happen. Race massacres happen. If we don't get some type of control over these issues, we're going to be faced with those type of issues in the future. That's just, again, based on what I see in my local area. I don't know if it's like that everywhere else.
Right. Well, you know, I tell you, there's a thing. Let's say, for instance, if you and I and Q-Lynn, we got together and we said that we're going to cause some civil discord. We're going to incite a riot, or we're going to incite violence, or we're going to incite, you know, that's a crime. And to me, right, if you know that you have a violent group, to me, the very nature of their existence is insightful. So, so why would you grant them a permit? And so my thinking is, now, the people who, I'm wondering if the people who, granted them that license or that permit, are they closet racists themselves? And they may want this to happen, you see, because I know there's certain people, I know if you represent a certain, group, and you are known to be violent, you know, you can't have a permit to have, you can't have a permit to have a march or a riot or anything like that, you know. But I want to switch gears right now. In Virginia, this story came about the lieutenant governor. And this one seems to be could be harmful to him, any aspiration that he has, maybe becoming governor, or maybe even staying in the position that he's in. I don't know how much you know about that story, but that happened back in 2005, I believe, 2004. And the, and this is a doctor, I don't have her name in front of me right now, but she's accusing, the lieutenant governor of sexually harassing her, said that, that it was a mutual and a kiss, that they were kissing, you know, and that was, you know, was okay. But, she also said that he went way, he went way farther than that and forced her to do some things that she really didn't want to do. And so I'm just wondering, now he had to run, when he became lieutenant governor. And so I'm wondering, and I'm not going to discount her story. I'm not going to discount if women, because I think this is the time for women or anybody else to come out and says, look, I've been wronged this way. Okay. And what this person did was wrong. And I'm just wondering about the timing of this. Do you have any insight on that?
Now, I don't know. So I've heard about it, but I don't know as much about that one. But I know in general right now, those, it's kind of hard because, not just in this situation, but in others, timing does come to mind. But overall, I really try to err on the side of caution with that, more meaning that if somebody is coming forth saying that something happened, I'm not gonna say it did or did not happen, because for one, only those two people know for sure what happened and how anything went down. But with that being said, I'm usually, you know, if you said you were assaulted, I have no reason to think that you're not being honest and truthful about that, unless there is, you know, irrefutable proof that you're making it up. So, because I wasn't there, so. But right. Like I said, also, I haven't read into that story as much to know all the details of that.
Right.
Do you find the timing questionable? Just,
well, you know, and
or is there something that makes you go that kind of think that?
Kind of questionable in general. And now, this is not to discount her story. I want the audience to be clear on this.
Right.
Because, like I said, I wasn't there. We weren't there. We don't know what's happening there. You know, and I would think that the, and for me to expound on it, or expand on the story a little bit, I don't want to do that because, again, there for years, women, have not come forward because of the fact that a lot of times, their stories have been discounted or they haven't been believed and nobody really wants to listen, right? My thinking is that that the story could have come out when he was running for lieutenant governor, you know? So I don't know, but since they were talking about replacing the governor, the lieutenant governor would be the governor if, this guy, Northam, that's his name, if he stepped down, then, this gentleman would be, the lieutenant governor would be the, governor, right? And so with this, this puts a real stain on it. And, you know, like I said, I don't know what the situation is. He denies it vehemently, but she has hired a lawyer. She hired the same, lawyer that, represented, this woman, what's her name, that went in front of Congress and, for that, Supreme Court, Kavanaugh nomination. She has the same lawyer that, the accuser had there. So she seemed to be pretty strong in her argument. She was, when she came out with a statement that it's extremely strong. And he says that, hey, he didn't do it, you know, and, we just don't know. And I hate to say this, but I find her credible. I do find her credible. So we'll see what happens there. What I'm going to do, I'm going to go to a quick break. Perhaps Q-Lynn will join us, but if not, we'll be right back. This is Will and Whitney.
The W's.
That's it. Yes, yes, we are back. Hey, this is the Soul Savages Show with Q Lynn and Whitney. Whitney, I just found the name of that Lieutenant Governor. His name is Justin Fairfax.
Okay.
Yep, Justin Fairfax. Yep. Oh my goodness. Let's see. I've got a little bit here. Virginia Democratic Congressman Bobby Scott was made aware of allegations of sexual assault against now Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax over a year ago by the alleged victim herself. ABC News has learned, and her name is Dr. Vanessa Tyson. Okay. She released a story, on Wednesday. Just on Wednesday, yesterday, she came out and Fairfax vehemently denies the assault claim. In a statement given to ABC News on Wednesday, Scott wrote, "Allegations of sexual assault need to be taken seriously. I have known Professor Tyson for approximately a decade, and she's a friend. She deserves the opportunity to have her story heard." Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
Wow.
Like I said, it doesn't look good for the lieutenant governor. I'm not going to... I can't pass judgment right now, but like I said, she certainly sounds credible. Wow. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Well, there's Q Lynn said she would join us a little bit. She had to contact management or something about something, but anyway. But there's a lot going on. The House Democrats, or like I said earlier, they are launching investigation after investigation after investigation. They was, to look into, this, Trump's, inauguration committee. They want to look into his businesses. They want to look in his campaign manager. Well, you know, the campaign manager, Manafort, you know, and these cats, all of them are crooks. But the thing about it is, with these investigations going on, and they want to look into, oh, one other thing. You may have heard this week that out of five of his locations, his golf courses, you know, they fired, all of the undocumented workers that work there, or a lot of the undocumented workers that work there, right? Out of five different locations. Mm-hmm. Now check this out. I find this interesting. Now, the organization says, no, these people, bought us phony paperwork, right? But that's not it. Mm-hmm. The victims or the people or the workers, that were fired, they says, no, his organization gave them the paperwork. They had the phony documents. And you look at that, this happened in five different locations. How could that be a coincidence? And someone was saying now, maybe one or two. But you've got dozens of people that were fired. And I think all that only came down after he shut the government down. Okay. And he did his tirade and rage against undocumented workers and people coming across the border. Right. And this hypocrite, he's hiring undocumented workers himself. And you know why? So he could underpay these people, right? He didn't want to pay regular wages to anyone. So you get, inexpensive, people, or workers, that with no paperwork, anything like that. And look, they're happy to get a job. I don't know what they paid them per hour or whatever it is, but a lot of these people work for him for years. They work for years, right? And so if you look at the hypocrisy, it's stunning. It is stunning. I can't believe it, you know, just like I mentioned a few weeks ago, just like with his, one of his resorts. And I think who else brought this up? And she brought it up on the Boomerang Show. And that, there is a bunch of people that are having, babies in Miami. Russian people are having babies in Florida. Russian people are having babies in Florida. What is the connection there? Yep.
Right.
Well, check it out. There's a third party, in Russia, or a third party that advertises to Russians to invite them to, our Trump properties to have a baby. Right? So a lot of these people,
I'm getting really weird. Like, what?
That is true.
What?
Yep. Well, you know, if you are born in the United States, you'll become a citizen, right?
Right.
So look at the connection there. And then there is an unusual amount. I mean, a high number of people or Russians going to, not only his properties, but Florida in general. And I think, the major, population is going to Miami, and they're having their kids right there in Florida. So now their kids now are U.S. citizens, you see. Now,
right.
He doesn't want that from any other, he doesn't want it from people like coming up from south of the border or coming from countries of color, you know. But it's okay for the Russians to come and do it. It's okay if you're coming from Europe, if you're coming from Sweden, if you're coming from Germany, if you're coming from those places, it's okay. But you talk about people of color, no, we can't have that in this country. The hypocrisy, I'm telling you, it just slaps you in the face. And the people who defend him, I'm telling you, I lost a so-called friend this past week because no matter what information I give her, she defends him. Well, give me proof.
Wow.
Where did you get that article from? I said, well, you know, we have a thing today called Google. You can Google it.
Right.
You know, you can really check it out. Anything that I've said, anything I said, we can back that up. Well, I don't know. Give me a specific article. I says, no. This is what happens when people don't want to know the truth. Or they may already know the truth, but they don't want to admit it, right? And so I told her, I said, now, either you're going to eat, people who don't acknowledge that there is a problem, they're part of the problem. Well, she got mad and said, goodbye. I said, okay, that's all right with me. That's somebody else I could cross off the Christmas list, you know?
Right.
Yeah, absolutely.